Officials at the Pentagon and the British military say they are prepared to launch an attack on Iraq any time of the year, but military planners acknowledge they would much rather fight when the air is relatively cool. That's one of the main reasons that conventional wisdom has picked the month of March as the possible beginning of any military action. As NPR's Richard Harris reports, climate is a major factor, but not necessarily decisive in the timing of an attack.
The Air Force Combat Climatology Center in Asheville, North Carolina, collects weather data from all around the world. This is used for everything from designing weapons to strategic war planning. Colonel David Urbanski, who commands that center, says Iraq hasn't shared any on-the-ground climate data with the rest of the world for more than two decades. But history, computer models, and common sense provide a reasonably good guide.
It's pretty much a desert regime, and standard hot and dusty, and in the summer hotter and dustier, it seems like.
At this time of year, highs are in the 60s or 70s, but it won't be comfortable for long.
Even as early as April, you can get into the hundreds, 100, 105 as early as April for extreme highs, record highs. But then as you go into May and June, you routinely will be getting into the average daily high of 100 degrees plus.
And the mercury keeps on climbing, often into the 120s. The armed forces would rather not fight the heat in addition to the Iraqi army, but Urbanski says the military is prepared to do that.
The National Training Center here in the United States is in the Mojave Desert, so those folks are well adept at operating in hot, dusty, deserty type climates.
The Pentagon gave an unintended demonstration of the hazards of heat last November. Six soldiers, dressed in special suits as defense against chemical and biological attack, reported to a news conference. But as their commander started to explain the virtues of these suits, one of the soldiers fainted face first under the glare of the TV lights.
If you were to stick around here and get us some water. Why don't you guys go ahead and stand at ease? Take it easy.
Unzip.
Yeah, go ahead and cool off a little bit. Those lights are pretty hot.
Those suits are intended only as a last resort, to be pulled on in the event of an attack and worn just long enough to move out of harm's way. Retired Rear Admiral Stephen Baker, who fought in the Gulf War and is now at the nonprofit Center for Defense Information, says the protective suits aren't the major concern for a desert war.
It's the logistical nightmare of hydrating the troops up to 2 liters of water every hour in the if they're right out exposed to the heat. So we would, I think, tailor our strategies to do more operations at night and in the coolness of the night.
Baghdad cools down to the 70s at night, even in the heat of summer. And Baker says U.S. troops have much better night-fighting gear than the Iraqi army does, whether it's night-vision goggles for ground troops or high-tech sensors in aircraft. He says a nighttime war would probably take longer, but the overarching strategy would still be similar. And war planners have many other issues to take into account.
The climate part of this is way down on the priority list compared to the diplomatic response.
In Baker's view, much more important is the need to garner as much support as possible from the American people, U.S. allies, and the United Nations.
That can take some time, and if it takes some time, that probably is the way it will play out.
He notes that in the event of an invasion, American troops will be in Iraq for the long haul as they occupy the country and search for weapons through the blistering heat of summer, the sandstorms, and all the seasons of the desert. Richard Harris, NPR News, Washington.